The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, have you no fish, have you? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And so they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus answered him, Feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But now that you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and will take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, Follow me. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation, may please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, sisters and brothers in Christ, it is enough to make one give up one's religion altogether. Whether you be Muslim or Jewish or Christian, it is enough to make one give up one's religion altogether. From the shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh on October 27th of last year that left 11 dead, to the shootings at mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand back on March 15th, which resulted in 50 deaths, to the bombings at churches and hotels in Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday 2 weeks ago that killed more than 250 people, to the most recent shooting at a Jewish synagogue in Poway, California. It is enough to make one give up one's religion altogether. Hatred does not discriminate, as we have seen. Evil does not resign itself to only a select group of people. There is no one that is immune to the violence. Like anyone else, faithful people are targeted by evildoers, maybe for that very reason, because they are faithful. And so just because one is faithful, just because one is righteous, in no way guarantees one's security. No one is immune, even our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, who was himself innocent of sin, who was the epitome of faithfulness to God, Jesus Christ, who was the personification of righteousness, Jesus Christ was not himself immune to hatred. He was not spared from the violence of evildoers. He himself, we know, was targeted. He himself was unjustly arrested, beaten, and crucified. And it was enough. It was enough to make Jesus' disciples give up their religion altogether. For notice in our gospel lesson today that Jesus' disciples are doing what? Fishing. Of all things, they are fishing. Now, don't get me wrong. Fishing can be an enjoyable pastime. One of the things I really enjoyed doing when I was growing up was going surf fishing with my dad on the beach. It was such a joy to be down by the water's edge, casting my line out over the breakers and waiting for a fish to hook on. It was so relaxing. It was a wonderful way to spend time with my dad. No, I have nothing against fishing per se. But the gospel writer John here is saying something specific to us when he writes that the disciples were now out in a boat fishing on the Sea of Tiberias, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee. The gospel writer John is telling us that the disciples have returned to their old way of life. Now remember that many of those whom Jesus first called to be his disciples were fishermen. And here we have those same disciples then returning to their former lives as if nothing had happened. Forget the fact that it was only in the previous chapter of John's gospel that the resurrected Lord had appeared to the disciples and had told them these words, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then Jesus had breathed on them and continued speaking, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Only the chapter before today's gospel reading, Jesus had commissioned his disciples, empowering them with the Holy Spirit to go and to forgive sins. And yet now, we find the disciples going back to what they had known in their previous lives, fishing. Perhaps the events surrounding the last days of Jesus' life, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, had been enough. Perhaps those events perpetrated against their leader, perpetrated against a deeply holy, religious, and innocent man, had been enough to make the disciples give up their religion altogether. No one is immune, after all, to hatred and violence, not even our Lord Jesus himself. And it is enough to make one give up one's religion altogether. To be sure, we can't help but question what is going on in our world that people would take up firearms like assault rifles and semi-automatic handguns and explosives and go to a place of worship and cause such unspeakable carnage. Why do people do such things? What is it that has made people so hateful to not only share speech that's hated towards others, but also now leads to horrific acts of bloodshed? What purpose does it serve? Now, I wish I had the answers for us, but the best answer I can give is that evil is alive and well in this world. And at the same time, I personally will not go so as far to demonize another person or even a group, such as to say that they are outright evil. Yes, I do believe that persons who do such murderous acts to other people are not themselves in the moment, and it is in our human nature as well to want them to exact revenge on others for what they do. But revenge is no better than the initial violence itself. Hate breeds only more hate, we know, and that is what we must be careful not to do. So I wish I had better answers to those questions, but I don't. In the aftermath of nonsensical violence, we can understand why then Jesus' own disciples found themselves giving up on religion. Indeed, here in this gospel reading, we have Jesus' disciples resuming their former lives as fishermen. Here we have Jesus' disciples turning away from Jesus' commission to go and forgive sins. And this passage in John's gospel is indeed very strange then to our ears. We have the disciples returning to their former ways of life, but yet they are unable to catch any fish. And then there is Jesus on the beach telling them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat. And when they do so, the disciples were overwhelmed by their catch. So many were the fish in their nets. And the disciples then recognized in that moment that it was Jesus who was speaking to them. And so they returned to the shore, and the disciples shared breakfast with the Lord on the beach, a sort of Holy Communion meal. And what scholars then believe is going on then in this scene is that Jesus is calling his disciples again in service to his name. Just as Jesus had originally called his disciples on the Sea of Galilee to follow him, so now Jesus is calling his disciples again to follow. This passage is also a wake-up call to the disciples in the gospel writer John's church, namely those 153 believers in John's community. That's what that number is probably meant to symbolize, the number of believers in John's community. And they themselves may have been struggling with their sense of call. This passage then is meant to encourage all believers in every time and place, those who are facing some crisis of faith. This passage is meant to help us understand that even though we might feel compelled to give up on religion altogether, God in Jesus Christ will not give up on us. And what better example of that is than Jesus' dedication towards us and Peter himself in this passage, who denied Jesus, we remember, three times during Jesus' arrest and trial. Here we find Jesus asking Peter over and over again, "Do you love me?" And with each response, Jesus encourages Peter, reinforcing Peter's commitment to God's people by telling him over and over again, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." This gospel passage is meant to encourage us in those times when we experience a faith crisis. Now, over my 20-plus years of pastoral ministry, I have watched faithful Christians turn away from religion, from the church, for lesser reasons than what we have witnessed in the news. I have seen it all too many times in my years of ministry. There are people who have been connected to a faith community, and then they drift away. And as much as we can do to try to reclaim them, it proves to be no easy task. Too often I feel that why people leave the church is because of the question, what difference does it make? What difference does religion make to me and to my life? And I imagine it is the same question the disciples were asking themselves after Jesus had been crucified. What difference had it made? We had followed this person for 3 years, but what difference had it made? Is not this the same question people are asking themselves today? Those who have drifted away from the church, those who have maybe never have had any connection to a faith community whatsoever. Those who see the bloodshed done to faithful people ask themselves, what difference does religion make? Faithful, righteous people are not spared violence more than anyone else. They are not immune to this experience. What difference does it make? To which we reply, to which we must reply, but with Jesus our Lord, our nets are full. But with Jesus our Lord, our nets are full. Let me explain what I mean by that. Notice in our gospel reading, friends, that the disciples go out fishing, an entire night of fishing, and they have come up empty, as we said. But then Jesus shows up on the scene and tells the disciples, cast your nets on the right side of the boat. And lo and behold, they make a miraculous catch of fish. So what difference does faith make in our lives? But with Jesus, our nets are full. And what I mean by that is that faith may not be so much as to make a difference in our life, our personal life. Maybe that is the wrong question. Faith is not about what difference it makes for me and for my life. Faith is about what difference it makes for the person, the other, and their life. Having full nets really is about sharing what is in our nets with others. And that is a blessing the other receives, as well as a blessing that returns back upon us. In our day and age, with all that is going on in the world, it is too darn easy to become cynical about life. It is too easy to say, what difference does any of it make, even religion? But it is not true. Feeding the lambs, tending the sheep, feeding the sheep, these things make a difference. Hearing the gospel, living the gospel, caring about our sisters and brothers in Christ, serving our neighbor through our words and deeds, blessing others with the blessings that we ourselves have first received, doing whatever we can to proclaim that gospel out in the world because our nets are full. All of this witnesses to the fact that by the grace of God, God has blessed us. Our nets are full. Our boat here in this place contains us. We are God's abundant catch. And so, yes, the power of Christ at work in our lives has made all the difference. It has made the difference in our lives. It makes the difference in the other lives that we touch. So granted, it is true that no one, not even us, no one is immune to hatred and violence. But let it also be said that Christ, who died to violence, is indeed raised from the dead. And we continue then to believe then that Christ's power at work in us, through us, no one is immune to God's love. No one is immune to God's love through the power of God at work in us. If we just do what we have been commissioned by our Lord to do. Christ does not give up on us. And so we do not give up on the sheep and the lambs that we are to tend and to feed. Thanks be to God. Amen.